I've been thinking. I was thinking about how I wanted to actually go through an intro for this lesson. I had this lesson picked out, and it dawned on me this past Tuesday. I got out of work a little early, so I was going to my car right before 8. And then, military members and foreign military members know that's my capital. And it got me thinking about what all the people who have died for our country, what they've done. And we know that they've sacrificed. We understand that they've been giving their life to make our country what it is. Turn with me over to Romans 12, chapter and verse 1. Romans 12, and verse 1. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. We're going to come back to this verse later again. But we are going to talk about sacrificing this evening. But we're going to look at it a little bit different way. I call the lesson Ducks in a Row. And as we go through the lesson, you'll see why I titled it the way that I did. Like I mentioned, we're going to talk about sacrificing. When you look through the scripture, you find that the definition of the sacrifice is whenever they offer something to God or to God's little sheep. When you actually look online, the definition says, and this is for when you look online, the definition says an act of slaughtering an animal or person or surrendering a possession as an offering to God or to a divine or supernatural figure. Basically, just saying it's giving something up. When I really think about it, sacrificing something is giving something up. Giving something of value up. So let's start in the Old Testament. Let's start looking at the Old Testament sacrifices. Let's get a good background, a good understanding of what they had to do and what was expected of them. First, God expected the best. When the Israelites sacrificed, God expected, more so God demanded the best. He demanded it without blemish. Turn with me over to Leviticus 1. Leviticus 1. Starting in verse 3. It says, if his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer a male without blemish. He shall bring it to the entrance of the tent of the meeting, that he may be accepted before the Lord. And go down a little bit further. The third chapter in verse 1 says, if his offering is sacrificed, a peace offering, if he offers an animal from the herd, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. The Lord demanded the best. From the Israelites, he always demanded the best. But it wasn't just that. He demanded the best in their sacrificing, but he demanded the first of what they were sacrificing. Same with Leviticus, turning over the 23rd chapter. Reading verses 9 and 10. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come to the land that I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheep of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheep before the Lord that he may be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. The point of this is that they were told to give the best. On top of that, they were told to give the first. But then they were also told to give according to God's desire. desire, according to God's design, His plan, not the people's plan. Go to the example of Nadab and Abihu, staying in Leviticus and turning back to the 10th chapter. Verses 1 through 3. It says, Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, and laid incense on it, and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, This is what the Lord has said, Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. You see, they did try to sacrifice, but it wasn't according to God's plan. The people were trying to sacrifice the lamb and the lion. Turn over to Malachi 1. Malachi 1, starting verse 6, it says, A son honors his father and serves his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear, says the Lord of hosts to you? O priest, who despise my name, but you say, How have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar, but you say, How have we polluted you? By saying the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals and sacrifice it, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts? You see, God expected the best always, because that's His design. That's His desire. And when they did the desire correctly, when they followed His design correctly, there was a pleasing aroma. Over in Genesis, the 8th chapter. Genesis, the 8th chapter. Starting in verse 20. It says, Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and took some of every clean animal and some of every bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. You see, we know that Noah was a faithful man. We know that Noah did things according to God's design, according to God's desire. And because of that, we know that sacrificing the correct way is a pleasing aroma to him. Alright. We looked at the Old Testament sacrifices. We have to understand that what God expects. Well, of what God expects, even now. But what about us? What are we sacrificing? What do we sacrifice ever? I have to stop and go just on a tangent for a second. I talked to my brother, and that's where this lesson really came from. I was talking with my brother. And we got to talk about sacrificing and sacrificing to God, and what are we ever sacrificing? Some things we shouldn't consider to be sacrifice. Actually, in most cases, almost all things, we shouldn't consider to be sacrifice. Turn with me over to 1 John 5. First John, 5th chapter. starting in verse 2, it says, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." Burdensome. "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." You see, when we love God correctly, when we want to strive and serve him correctly, we will gain pleasure by seeking to do what he wants us to do. Matthew 6:33 says, "And seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." We're told to seek him first. We know that when we seek him first correctly through love, we're seeking righteousness. We can't consider that. We can't consider saying that, okay, well, I don't go partying with the people from work. Or I don't go hang out with people from work on time that I should be spending studying. We can't consider that sacrificing. But even more so than that, shouldn't we feel honored that we get to be here? You see, sacrificing isn't what we think it, what many think it is. We should feel honored when we're here. An example that I want to use because I've heard it many times from my dad. Every year, Super Bowl comes around. And every year when I was younger, I'd ask Dad, "Dad, why can't we just stay home from church and watch the Super Bowl? Love football." Every year my dad would tell me the same thing because we get to go to church. You see, we should feel honored that we get to go to church, not wanting to stay home, not wanting to not be here with our brothers and our sisters in Christ. Psalm 8, starting in verse 3. It says, "When I looked at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" 1 Samuel 12. Verse 24. It says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you." There's nothing else I can add to what the scripture says about what he's done. What I will say on this topic, though, is our ducks in a row. Are our priorities right when it comes to wanting to be here or wanting to be elsewhere? See, as I titled this lesson, Ducks in a Row, called it a lesson of sacrifice, but in reality, it's a lesson of priorities. It's a lesson saying that we must put God first in our life. That is what being a living sacrifice for the Lord truly means. Putting Him first in our life, striving to serve Him all the time, striving to be a holy offering, striving to be that pleasing aroma to Him. Romans 12 and verse 1. Read it a little bit ago. We're going to read it again. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." In class this morning, we talked about how Paul told the Galatians how to seek you. He is saying, I appeal to you. He is once again, they are once again, right or wrong, just begging that you present yourself as a living sacrifice. How do we accomplish this? How do we become a living sacrifice? How do we achieve this honor? We achieve it first through imitating God. Ephesians 5. Verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. I can stop right there. But then we're also told in verse 2, it says, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. You see, we are to be a living sacrifice to God. We become this by imitating God, by showing love. Matthew 22:37 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great encouragement. See, this is how we live with that. This is how we strive to be without sin. We strive to not sin. That's what we're to do. Strive to serve Him. Strive to worthy and Christian properly. See, we live with God. And all that we do, remember Jason and I left not too long ago about what are we here for? And one year for God. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 9. It says, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to complete. We always should live for God. And going a little bit further down in verse 14, it says, for the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. I'll say that I don't believe we sacrifice in our daily lives. I believe that we are to present ourselves as sacrifice. We are to make ourselves a pleasing aroma to God. We are to strive to be unblemished. We are to strive to put God's desire, God's will above all else. By telling this also, Christ did sacrifice for us. Christ died on the cross for us. He could have called 10,000 angels, and he could have saved himself. He could have made it where we don't have hope, we don't have grace, we don't have mercy, we don't have any of the wonderful gifts that he's given to us. But he did. He sacrificed. He gave his life for us. So are we doing the same? Are we living our lives in a way that would make him proud of us? In a way that he would actually say, when we see him, he would actually say, come in, I've been a faithful servant. Or are we just trying to get by? My final question, my only question